for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, March the 22nd, 2008. Philip Fields is the speaker of this service teaching on How to Hear the Voice of God.
Tonight I want to give you the most precious gift I could ever give you. You ready for it? I have a gift for you tonight, and I believe it is going to be with you the rest of your life. This is a very, very, very precious gift. And I want to share it with you because it has been shared with me. I want to give away the most precious thing you can ever give anybody else. And that is how to hear the voice of God. It is the most important piece to your relationship with Him. If you don't know how to hear Him, you don't know Him. You will dry up and be overwhelmed by the enemy all the time. Tonight, I want to share with you how to truly hear the voice of God and join the current move of God that is taking place right now. How many of you want that gift? I got a few takers. Good. Father, tonight I thank You for this word that You have placed in my heart. And I truly pray that tonight that Your wisdom would be revealed and that everyone here would have ears to hear. And I pray, Father, that in the name of Jesus Christ, that You would open the eyes of their hearts. And I pray, Father, that there will literally be a healing that takes place in their memory so that they are able to open up themselves, both left and right sides of their brain, and they are able to fully absorb via the Spirit, Lord, Your voice and Your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray and I believe. Amen. Before I get started on that subject, I want to again take a couple of moments to share with you the book that we just published. We self-published this book. It took 3 years to write it. This book is the story of how God reached into my life when I was at one of my lowest moments and began to heal me and restore me. The back cover says, "Has a charade of good theology left you stranded in quiet desperation? Are you tired of methods, sick of being sick, and longing for real change in your life? Rise above empty promises and be transformed, spirit, soul, and body." This is more than just one man's story of divine restoration. This book is an invitation to go beyond the safety of your best defenses, to face your own destructive life patterns. I know I'm the only one that had those, but just in case you have a few. To experience the indescribable freedom, healing, and wholeness that awaits those who are ready to get real with God. So if you want to get one of those and you'd like me to sign it before I leave, I would love to do that for you. I always try to write a little personal note that God downloads for you in there. I believe that that book is going to change people's lives. A couple weekends ago, I was at a meeting with Charles and Frances Hunter. How many of you know who they are? Wonderful people. And their daughter got up on the Saturday night before the last meeting, and she said, "I just want to begin to prophesy over this group." And she began to prophesy and just talk about the different things that she saw happening in the Spirit. And she said, "Someone here has written a book. You've had a hard time publishing that book." And she went on to describe several other things about my story. And I was like, "Oh, that's me." And I just happened to have a copy of the book here with me. Oh my gosh. I mean, it was like, had just been printed 3 days before. So I'm like, are you messing with me? You know, I'm thinking, God, are you messing with me, God? What's going on here? So I run up to her afterwards and I said, I believe this is the book that you were talking about. And I began to share some of my story and she starts crying. She goes, this is the book. And I said, let me tell you what I went through. The first guy that read the book said no one would ever read it. How many of you have had a dream in your life before? You put all your energy into going somewhere with that dream and somebody comes along and says, what are you doing? You know, it's like they just rain on your parade, okay? And then the second person who began to help me with the book tried to steal it from me. She felt like she was entitled. The third person said, unless you have $20,000, I can't help you. I said, you're obviously not going to be the one that helps me. So finally, a friend of mine that had worked for Strang Publications for years jumped in and helped me, and the book is here. And I believe it's God's divine timing. So I hope and pray that you'll go get yourself a copy of the book. Tonight, as we look into the Scriptures to begin, how is it that we begin to hear God's voice? And if you will allow me, tonight I really want to teach you. Sometimes I get really excited when I'm speaking and I do more preaching than I do teaching. And tonight I want to slow myself down and I want to begin to give you some things that are really going to help you long term. I spent many years, I've been in the ministry now for almost 25 years, I spent many years carrying other men of God's suitcases. It was an honor to carry the suitcases that I got to carry. To sit in the rooms and listen to people like Glenn Miller and Dr. Null and other people talk about the real issues in their life. And my question, anytime that I was allowed to speak, because sometimes when you're in the presence of certain people, it's better to be still and listen than it is to throw out your 2 cents. And everybody said, yes, Lord. Okay? So, As I was granted the privilege to talk to these great men of God and women of God, I sat across Joyce Meyer, and I sat with her as she cut her first book deal with Harrison House in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I was the guy that drove her to the appointment. She wouldn't remember me from Adam. But it was a very powerful experience in my life because she looked at that guy, and this was her first chance at a book deal, and she said these words to him. She said, listen, you can edit this book all day long, but you will not change the substance. Does that sound like Joyce? Because she had birthed something in that book, and it was very powerful. And any chance that I got to ask a question of a great man or a great woman of God, it was something along the lines of, how do you hear His voice? The question really is, how do you get close to Him? Tell me what you know. Give me your insight. How do you get into that place where you are captivated with His presence? And there's this divine flow coming from heaven. How do you get there? I've been asking this question. I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old. I was not raised in a godly home. I was pulled out of the fire of abuse and alcoholism. Left home as a teenager. Started preaching when I was 14 years old. And all this time, I wanted to know more about how to hear His voice and how to be close to Him. Because that was the one thing that energized my life more than anything else. And so I want to give you that gift tonight. And this is years of learning and the things that I have been granted in my life and the privileges. And I hope that this will really bless you. The first question that I ask someone when I minister to them is, what has God said to you? Because if God hasn't spoken to them, that's where we've got to start. See, a lot of people get into a lot of problems. We have a lot of things that break down in our lives. Our bodies break down. Stuff is going on. Sometimes we don't have control over what happens to us. Sometimes you're in an abusive situation or a difficult situation or you got fired unjustly or something of that nature. Well, I don't ask people what's wrong. You know why? Because if you ask somebody what's wrong, you're going to get about 2 hours of what's wrong. And this is what's in their head and what they have been soaking and thinking and worrying about and this merry-go-round of stuff going on inside of them. It isn't going to help them to know what's wrong. What's really going to help them is the Word of God. See, most of the time we've dug for ourselves a very deep pit. And somehow we've come to believe a lie that there's no hope for us to get out of that pit. Self-pity is the pit that we have dug for ourselves. I don't know about you, there have been seasons in my life when I've dug pits that were so deep and so big that I had lawn chairs down there and I was serving drinks and doing all kinds of stuff in my pit. But at some point, the thing that's going to get you out of the pit is the Word of God. And when you look at the word compassion in the New Testament, it is not referring to pity. It is referring to the ability to draw you out of that place of desperation, that place of pity. See, if you really could, many times the Hebrew and Greek language is action-oriented. If you could understand compassion, it's more like a sound pulling you out. It's like, it pulls you out. That's what compassion is. Compassion isn't, oh, you poor little thing. See, when Jesus had compassion on them and healed them, He pulled darkness out and released healing in. You see that? One or two of you. Now, the reason that I go that direction is because I want to establish a Christ-centered understanding with people. And I want them to begin to draw on the unlimited resources of heaven. If I set you up to focus on your problem, then chances are you're going to allow that problem to grow. It's like Doc said that when he heard that he was diagnosed with cancer, he didn't get drawn into fear. Why? Because he didn't get sucked into the potentials of the problem. It's a very powerful revelation. See, any time that you're looking at your resources, those resources are always limited. Your best efforts. How far have you gone on your best efforts? Now, some people will say, when we start talking about hearing the voice of God, they'll say, well, what does the Bible say? What is written in the Word of God about your situation? Hey, listen, at some point, you've got to go there. You've got to discover it for yourself. But many people read the Bible and all they get is a thimble full of revelation. Do you know what a thimble is? It's one of those little metal things that my grandmother used to wear on her finger when she would sew so that the needle wouldn't poke her in the finger. A thimble, little tiny bit of revelation. You know why? Because you're sucking on the revelation of God through your brain. And your brain cannot reveal to you the greatness of God. It is a spiritual understanding. Your brain drinks with an eyedropper. Your spirit can suck on a fire hydrant. Do you see the difference? I've discovered that in my life. There have been times when God has downloaded things in my life that my brain went, whoa, whoa, what was that? My spirit went, whoa, yeah! Okay? That's when you know you're getting it. All right? We're looking for a spiritual download, not intellectualism. There's a big difference. Tonight, I am not in any way minimizing the authority of Scripture. But this Scripture has to become rhema for you at some point. It cannot just be logos. It cannot just be fact in black and white. It has to live for you. And the way that it's going to live is when God tattoos it on your spirit. Is this helping anybody? Jesus, when He taught His disciples to pray, in Matthew 6, 9 and 10, He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. We all know the prayer. And this is the emphasis. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are called to activate the will of God, bringing heaven to earth. You get that? If we are going to bring heaven to earth, it is going to require us to hear God's voice. Hearing God's voice requires us to become these supernatural vessels that He has called us to be. How is it that God would set us up this way? You know? Why would He set us up this way? He set us up so that we could advance His kingdom. Not so that we would hide in a corner somewhere and hope that we don't get taken captive. So remember as a child when you played games like Red Rover, and kickball and stuff like that, were you ever that kid that you were afraid that once you got picked and once you had to run or once you had to kick a ball or something like that, you were going to goof it all up? So you kind of slid yourself over to the side hoping nobody would pick you. But I'll tell you something. It is no longer safe in this world to act like you don't know what's going on. You've been picked. You've been called into the game. It is going to require you to hear God's voice for yourself. And in the church, the model that we have set up for years is that the man of God would go to God and get the voice of God for the people. I want to tell you something. That was never God's intention. If you are following a man, you are on a course that could set you up for a very painful fall. I know, I've experienced that myself. And I don't blame the man of God. I put too much trust in him myself. God did not intend you to have a mediator on this earth. Jesus became our mediator. Okay? He wants you to hear God for yourself. See, when we begin to hear God, which basically means that we're encountering Him for ourselves, what happens is that we begin to see with spiritual eyes. How many of you understand that you have spiritual eyes? 2/3 of the Bible came as a result of men and women's spiritual eyes. Vision. Now, we've been robbed by the New Age. The New Age says that you get things by going into the spirit realm. And because we are overly influenced by Westernism and intellectualism, we have looked at that and said, all of that's occultism. Well, it's because of what they're going after. But you and I have been given an imagination. We've been given eyes to see and experience vision and things of that nature. And the Lord wants you to have that gift. He wants you to hear Him. And when you begin to hear Him, you will begin to see Him. Does that excite you at all? Seeing God excites me. I mean, I love your cute little faces. Even though some of them are crooked. We all have imperfections. We all have stuff about us that's goofy. But I want to see God. I want to experience in my lifetime being that vessel that He flowed through. That brought transformation into this world. I want to leave this planet a different way than I did. You know, I don't want it to be the same. I don't want my kids to have to live in a welfare state. How about you? Hearing God. Experiencing God in the Scriptures, and according to the Hebrew people, the Israelites, is often referred to as a metaphor. The visual pictures. The move of God and His people is often referred to as the flowing of water. And I realize that this is a very powerful metaphor. You go over and you sit by this waterfall that's been rushing for the last several days. We got here a little early and it had been doing a lot of raining here, and so just watching that waterfall and watching it come off of those rocks and listening to it. It is very captivating to sit and hear water coming. It sings a song. Come on now. There's a powerful revelation. It does sing a song. The question is, can you hear the song? See? Sometimes in our life we're so busy and we're so consumed with ourselves, we can't hear the song that God is singing to us. But when you begin to, if you just begin to think about that image and the power of that image, and how God says that He flows in and through us like rushing water, how powerful that is. We've been teasing our neighbor who hears our sound machine. We travel with a sound machine that you can plug in. It's got all these different sounds, some like a heartbeat and you know all this different kinds of stuff. And it's we put it on ocean waves, so it sounds like you're at the beach. Carla came by the room. She said she turned her fan off this morning. She said, "Oh, I'm at the beach." Surf's up. Let me give you some examples. In the Scriptures, it refers to the Jordan crossing. And all of us have pictured in our minds what it might be like for the Israelites to have crossed these rivers, these seas, and the places that they had to cross. It's a very powerful transformation, going from the land of bondage in Egypt to the land of the promised, the milk and honey. You could see those tired, hungry people crossing those rivers and those oceans and going into that great place of promise. Another prophecy of Ezekiel in chapter 48, he talks about the flowing of the water of the Holy Spirit from the temple. And then he waded in ankle deep and then knee deep and then up to his hips and then up to his chest. And before he knew it, he was being carried away by this great water. What was he prophesying about? The move of the Holy Spirit. How many of us in this day and age want the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives? All of us do. That's why we're here. We want to be a part of the move of God. Jesus said, recorded by John in John 4, 13 and 14, "The water I give him will become in him a spring of water, a well of water, welling up inside of him to eternal life." What is he referring to? He's referring to the rushing, moving power of the Holy Spirit inside of him. How many of us want to know this on a daily basis? Are you tired of drawing out dryness in your spiritual life? Do you want more? My wife uses a phrase, in the last year we've had these encounters with God. She keeps saying, "I'm ruined for ordinary." It's a good thing. I'll tell you something. Even when I come in a situation like this morning, Dr. Noel prayed for me, a powerful release in my life. I never get tired of learning. I never get tired of growing. You know, weakness is weakness. Struggles are struggles. Guess what? They're common to all of us. And if you sit back and you hide your struggles and try to prevent people from seeing who you really are, you will be successful. You will be successful, but you will miss the move of God. Because He is going to speak to you and penetrate you in your weakest, most vulnerable places. God wants to undress you, not try to get in that mask and that hard shell that we've created by the conditioning we've experienced in this life. Revelation 22, 1 and 2 says, "And the angel of the Lord showed me the river, the water of life." Wow! Are you thirsty? Do you want this water? Do you want it to penetrate your life? Why does the Word of God need to be current in our lives? Why must we have more than the Logos? Why must we have Rhema? Why must this Word that we are living on be alive in us today? Matthew 9:17 says that the move of God comes, and you cannot contain the current move of God in the old wineskin. Let me tell you something, church. We have changed. There is a transition that has taken place and is taking place, and there will be more transition. And if you keep looking for God in the same old context that you've always been searching for Him, chances are he may not show up there. We need to understand the new, current Word of God. I'll give you a very powerful example in Scripture. Abraham was told to go and sacrifice his son Isaac. He heads up the hill. He puts the boy on the altar, who would have been a young man. He has got him on the altar. Don't you think that Isaac was glad that Abraham heard the Lord? He needed a current word. Okay? Now, had he just gone on, the only revelation that he had, we would not have had Isaac. Okay? He would have been sacrificed. Do you see that? Peter was given a vision in the house of Cornelius. And one of the reasons that the Gentile world, us, the people, the heathens, those who were not originally Hebrews, the reason that they were given an open door has a lot to do with that vision that Peter was given. It wasn't about food. It was about the Gentile nation. But that vision was a current word. And when you look at the book of Acts, it is an unfolding of God's current move and His current things that He's doing. Those revelations are very, very powerful. Even the Apostle Paul and his calling, he needed to hear God's voice very, very clearly. Now, there are several things that are going to really help you prepare yourself to begin to hear God's voice. The first one that I want to make you aware of is that we have to make the Lord's presence our focus. I heard Glenn say this morning. He said that, you know, if you can, when you're going through difficult times, stop thinking about the difficulties. That's tough to do. Because when somebody's betrayed you, all you can see is those words coming out of their mouth. And them standing in front of you and that sword going into your heart and that knife going into your back. Or when you lost your inheritance, or when you had a bad financial deal or something. That's all you can think about, because it's a merry-go-round inside of you. But I want you to do something different than you've ever done before. I want you to say to yourself, the next time I get in one of those situations, I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit into my mess. You know why? You say, but the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in those ugly moments in our life. I'll tell you something. You could be caught up in sexual sin, and He'll meet you right there. You say, Philip, you've got to be kidding me. Listen, the Son of God left heaven to come to a corrupt world. Don't you think for one second that He won't meet you wherever you're suffering and whatever you're going through. That's where He wants to dwell with you. The Apostle Paul said, 3 times I prayed for this thing to be lifted off of me. And yet he, after all of that, said, it was in my moment of weakness, in my moment of struggle. Hey, I'm going to get excited next time I'm struggling, because I know it's an opportunity for the Lord to show up and for Him to speak into my life. How would our lives be different if we invited the Holy Spirit into our struggles? You know what we do often is we try to fix ourselves and try to get kind of holy and then go to God. Don't make me feel lonely. You know? I mean, I don't want to talk to my wife when I know I've done something that she doesn't like, which happens once a year. I want to talk to her about all the good things that I know she's going to be happy about. But I want to tell you something. There isn't a father in this room that wouldn't take his child on his lap and begin to talk to them and lovingly say, I care about you, son. I love you, baby. I'm here for you. No matter what mess we have created in our lives, God wants to show up. It is a lie from the devil. He wants to isolate you. He wants you to be like that little lame deer in the herd so that he can separate you and begin to target you and begin to take you captive and destroy your life. Jesus said this, John 14:16. He said, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever." The reason He said that is because in John 14:18, He said, "I will not leave you as orphans." I want to tell you something. In my life, I realized something. I left home as a teenager. I became a self-imposed orphan. And you know what orphans have a hard time with? They won't trust anybody. The man that took me in was sent from God to rescue me. And He gave me a place to live. He loved on me. He taught me. He helped me. He helped me finish school. He helped me come out here to Oral Roberts University. I grew up in Virginia. And by the time it was done, He helped me finish my master's degree at Regent University in Virginia Beach. I was debt-free when I walked away from my master's degree. That is a miracle. That could have cost me as much as $75,000. But you see, in the beginning, I wouldn't trust this gentleman for anything. I was an orphan. Orphans don't trust. See, and the reason sometimes we want, what is God saying? Why isn't God speaking to me? Why isn't He coming down into the middle of my stuff? He cannot speak to you if you will not trust Him. God will be as vulnerable with you as you are willing to be vulnerable with Him. It's very important. The other thing that's really, really going to help you is when you begin to sit down and hear the voice of the Lord, make this a learning process. Give yourself permission to receive. We are workaholics in the body of Christ. We labor and labor and labor and strive and strive and drive ourselves. When was the last time that you gave yourself permission to receive? I'm not telling you to be lazy. I'm not telling you to quit your job. But when you go before God, you have to understand something. He is an unlimited well of resources. He wants to bless you. He wants to pour those things out on you. And if you're sitting there trying to make yourself presentable to Him and trying to be holy and trying to sound educated and do all these kinds of stuff, you know, sometimes I go to God and I just say, "Bleh!" And it's interesting to me. I had a gentleman speak into my life one time. And he said, "I'll give you an example of what we are like on our best day when we're living righteous and the Word of God is alive in our souls and we're saving thousands and we're crusaders to the world." He said, "Let me give you a picture of what that's really like." And he had a picture in his office that he had taken off of the internet. And this picture was this American soldier who had a Kurdish baby in his arms during the northern invasion from Iraq. And the U.S. soldiers had gone in there to help the Kurds. And this Kurdish baby was in his arms, and it was so malnourished that all it could do was hold its mouth open like this. Ah. That's all it could do. Was whole. It couldn't even suck. Now, babies are born sucking. But all they could do was, "Ah." "On your best day," he said, "that's how good you are." "Ah." "Try it with me." "Ah." "Get off of your high horse." And I wanted to fold up my degrees and all of my great study tools and just throw them all away. "If that's all I can ever muster, Lord, what are You doing with me?" Even that can be used for His glory. But don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of the fact that that's all you can muster. That's okay. The powerful one in this relationship is God, not us. You don't have to have the power. You just need to know where to get it. The other thing that I find that is extremely important when it comes to hearing the voice of God is to learn to be teachable. Be teachable. Why do you think that Jesus chose these unlearned and ignorant men, these fishermen and tax collectors, to be His disciples? Why didn't He go to the cream of the crop of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? I mean, these guys had the Scriptures down. They were zealous. They were disciplined men. Why did He go after these so-called failures? Because they would be willing to learn. The most important ingredient as disciple is that you are a learner, that you are willing to learn. And there are always people around you who are far more advanced than you are in this walk. Learn from them. Be teachable. One of the epidemics in the body of Christ is that we have this thing going off inside of us. I already know that, with the lack of evidence in our life. Listen, I don't know everything there is to know about healing. I don't know everything there is to know about deliverance. I don't know everything there is to know about hearing God's voice, but I'm willing to learn. Listen, if a child can teach you, listen to the child. If a donkey can teach you, listen to the donkey. God wants to teach you. Give yourself permission to learn. It's very important. Okay. Now, what I want to do is just begin to show you how this works. When I go to God and I open myself to Him, my expectation and my focus is on Him. You got to get that. How many people in this room, when you sit down to pray, have to adjust the entire room? Come on and be honest. You got to, the sound in the room has to be just right. Temperature has to be just right. Furniture has to be just right. Everything has to be put away. Everybody has to be put out. We have our ways of, you know, trying to grab this time with God. I want to tell you something. If you are focusing on yourself, or if you're focusing on your efforts, or if you're focusing on your problems, or if you're focusing on the last person that you had a quarrel with, then you are not going to hear God's voice. There is absolutely no magic and no protocol for hearing God's voice. The main ingredient is that you position yourself to draw from Him. Okay? He has to be the focus. When we come into this sanctuary and we sing all of these beautiful songs and we get into God's presence, what is the focus? Glenn's not the focus. The worship leader's not the focus. You would think that we had lost our mind if we sat a person up on a seat and said, "Hey, watch this person, everything they do, you do." No. God's the focus. And the goal is to hear His voice. The goal is to experience Him. That's what you're after. That's what you're hungry for. Let me tell you something. If you are going to hear God's voice, then you are going to have to make Him your focus. And I want to set the stage for you. Hearing God's voice comes as a result of favor. And guess what? You cannot work for it. You don't work for favor, you draw from it. The one who is favored is Christ. Guess where He is? He's within you by the Spirit of God. If you're going to hear the voice of God and experience the living Savior, then you're going to need favor. Where are you going to get that favor? You and I can't earn that favor. Someone's already earned it for us. What we're going to do is we're going to draw from favor and not work for it. See, some of us are still under this mythological belief that because we've had a good week, that God owes us something. No. The reason that we hear God, the reason that we experience the move of God, is because He's already set it in motion. And we are favored because we are covered in the blood of Christ. Do you understand that? Two of you, say something to me that would inspire me to go on another moment. If you fall asleep, fall forward. I'll think you're saying amen. Listen, you play the game a lot different when you know you are going to win. Move closer to me, amen. All right, I get three. Can I get four? The reason that God gave us this down payment of the Holy Spirit is because He wants to dwell in us, move through us, and use us in this earth. We are not here to just hang out. We are dwelling places for God. The salvation of the world is in our hands. God's already made His decision about what's going to happen. He's waiting for us to get the message. John 17:3 says this, "This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." I want to tell you something. This life and knowing God is not about getting saved. We have erred in the church. We have made it about getting in the door. And so what we've done is we've filled up churches full of people who have gotten in the door. And now they know they're in the door, they have stopped. It'd be like this. I was invited in Atlanta, Georgia, to a millionaire's home to pray for her child. The home was worth $22 million. It was surrounded by mansions. Everything in the house was gorgeous, marble. You could see gold and different places. There's an elevator going up and down three stories. Now, if she turned that mansion over to me and she said, "Listen, you really, really are an awesome guy. I really like you. I'm going to give you this mansion." I'd go, "Yeah, honey. Sell the farm. Get the kids. Beverly Hills, that's where we're going." Okay. So, we move. This is what's happened in the body of Christ. This is what I want you to see. It would be like us getting that mansion and moving into the foyer and bringing all of our Jed Clampett dishes and our Piggly Wiggly luggage and getting into the foyer and saying, "Man, we are blessed. Would you look at the marble floor, man? This is awesome. I got a marble floor. You know, I got this awesome vaulted ceiling right here in this foyer. This is awesome." And she says to me, "What do you think about the rest of the house?" "Oh, we don't want to go messing with that. We got this foyer. Let's just stay right here. Come on, let's polish the floor and invite everybody over to the foyer." That is what we have done in the body of Christ. You have been given a mansion and you are camping out in the foyer. Get your hillbilly dishes up and get into the bedroom. Go check out your jacuzzi. Order your servants to cook you an 8-course meal. Come on. God has not hidden the kingdom of God from you. He hid it for you so that in your searching, you might know Him. Searching for God. creates relationship. Do you see that? As you search for Him, you know Him. See, you weren't born to live for God. It's impossible. We fail. We stink. We're too weak. You were born to live from Him, not for Him. That's religion. That's your best effort on your best day. You never do it. I'll never forget hearing a great preacher get up and talk and say, you know, he planned to have one sinless day. He was going to live sinless. He scheduled it on his calendar. On this day, I am going to be sin-free. And he got up. And he was getting ready to leave the bedroom. And he said, oh my gosh, it's already starting to happen. Here it goes. So he shut the bedroom door and he got down on his knees and he started praying. He got up. He was fine. He went back to the bedroom door, walked out the bedroom door, and his kids started... And he went... Rah! He's like, oh man, 30 minutes into the day! Stop trying to live for God. Draw from the well. Draw from the well. When I go before God, I draw from the well. You can't make water, but you can certainly receive quite a bit of it. It's what you need more than anything else, water. Draw from the well. See, if you're going to hear God's voice, you got to position yourself for it. And if you're the focus, if your problem is the focus, if the results of your prayer needs are the focus, you are going to miss God. Stop praying for results. It's like we got this tabulator and this calculator of this expectation. I prayed so many days, so many hours, so now God ought to say something. You've got to be kidding me. Do you mean that Jesus got up out of the grave for us to have formulas? He wants to dwell inside of you and give birth inside of you His very will. So important. Our responsibility in hearing God is very simple. I want you to turn to the Scripture. John 6, 28 and 29. John 6, 28 and 29. Now this is after Christ has fed the multitudes with the loaves. And they're seeing all kinds of stuff going on. And they're following Him over the hillside in all kinds of places. And they come across this hillside. And they stop Him. Because He's talking about experiencing more than just temporal things. And they ask Him, what must we do to work the works of God? That's a powerful question. Somebody was inspired to ask that question. What do we have to do to be the vessel that You are? What do we have to do? Now, Christ could have come up with an incredible list. Fast so many times a week. Attend this kind of church. Spend time with these kinds of people. Eat only these kinds of foods. Go to these kinds of conferences. Get this kind of degree. Marry this kind of person. Have this kind of house in this neighborhood. He didn't say any of those things. He said, in order for you to do this, you must believe in the One He sent. How is it that Christ becomes more real to you? By hearing His voice. When you hear His voice, what happens is that you exchange those lies inside of you with the truth. And what does the truth do? It makes you free. What does freedom give you? Freedom gives you the potential to fulfill your destiny. Because a free person is unencumbered. They have no problem asking for what they want. They have no problem going after it. You know, as a child in my house, when it was dinner time, you ate in silence. You were not allowed to talk. You were not allowed to sing. You were not allowed to do anything. My father ate in front of a television. And my mother would serve him his meal first. And we had to be quiet so that he could hear the TV. Now, I'm from a family of all brothers. And if you didn't eat, you would get eaten. You know, I'm not a small man, nor were my brothers. And we were big eaters. And so dinner time was this solemn moment. The first time that my wife came to my house, she was petrified of the meal time because everybody sat, you could hear each other chew. And you know, that kind of grinds on you, doesn't it? It's like, especially if you're eating something crunchy. Because in her house, it was, pass it, no, give me this. You know, it's like, it's a free-for-all. You know, have a roll, okay. You know. And I'm like, oh, these people, it's like a tennis match, you know. Because they were free. They were free. They wanted something, they asked for it. That's what a free man does. He has no problem going to his daddy and saying, I'm in need. That's what Jesus paid the price for, so that we could go to daddy and say that we are in need. Every problem in your life has been created by words, and every problem in your life will be solved by words. Every problem. I guarantee you, the very first sin of mankind was an argument over what God did or did not say. Genesis 3:1, you go back and read it. And to this day, the greatest conflict in your life and in the body is, did God say it or did He not say it? Has God not said it? He just mouthed it right over here for me. Thank you. Has God not said it? Because I'm going to tell you something. And this is what happened to me. When I could only sleep 2 hours, and my body was sweating and cramping, and I was sick and diseased, and I was full of pain and poison in my body. I didn't need her words, as important as they were. That's my wife. I didn't need my parents' words. I didn't need my preacher's words. I didn't need my little children's words. I needed a word of life. Because as much as they could speak truth, as much as they could encourage me, as much as they could try to give me some sort of faith and hope, they could not give me the living, breathing, healing demonstration of the Holy Spirit. If you have not had this moment in your life, someday you will, when the only thing that you have to hang on to is the Word of God. When you come to that place, you have faced the greatest test of your life. In that moment, everything is insignificant. How much money you got in the bank, how many people like you or dislike you, how many places you've been in your life, how many degrees you've earned, all of the world's success will matter absolutely nothing to you. You want to know that God has spoken. And when He speaks, everything else is silent. The devil cannot override the Word of God. Jesus openly defeated the devil with the living Word of God. When you go back and you look at the context of what he said to the devil? He said, I live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father. That word is not logos, it's rhema. In that moment, after 40 days of fasting, he knew what he was up against. And he needed a living word. And for some of us, the reason that you cannot be totally free in your deliverance is because you have no living word. You need living word. You're living off of another man's table. You're stealing bread off another man's table. God wants you to have your own Asiago cheese bread. He wants to give you His Word. You don't have to work for it. You draw from the well. Draw from the well. If He would give a Samaritan woman living water, what disqualifies you? There was no more detested person than a Samaritan in the day of Jesus. He took pleasure in giving her the cup. He'll take pleasure in doing the same for you. I truly believe that the most important thing is that you learn to hear God for your own life.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.